Reverend Neil Russell is going to give us the word tonight.
Okay, guys, back in July or August, I was here. I called Barbara, and I said, Barbara, look, I need some help. I've been asked to go on television. I prayed to God. I said, what do you want me to say? I only do what God tells me. I don't do anything anymore. My plans are his plans are my plans. So I went right to him. And so anyhow, during that week, I fasted, and I seek God. What do you want me to say? And so I watched a video on the Internet. It was Joel Rosenberg, who's an author, interviewing a guy named Dr. Michael Heiser. Now, Dr. Michael Heiser is a Bible scholar. Okay, so Bible scholars know the Bible. See, the thing is, I'm learning the Bible. I'm sure all of you are doing the same thing. I put my Bible down here somewhere. I'll find it. But see, the thing is this, we read English. Now, some of you read Spanish. I wish I could speak Spanish. I'm jealous. You're smarter than I am because you have more connections in your head. See, when I retire, one of the things I want to do is learn how to speak Spanish fluently. There's a Bible around here somewhere. If anybody sees a big, thick, red Bible, there's things in it I put down. There it is. Okay, thank you. So anyhow, I listened to this guy, and he said some things. There are things missing in this Bible. Let me see. Are they on the seat? Okay, I had free gifts to give out. I stuffed in this Bible. We'll find them. Oh, they're up here. Dr. Michael Heiser knows the Hebrew of the Bible. I'm learning the Hebrew of the Bible. I found out there's two versions of the Bible that I didn't know existed. There's a Septuagint, which is the older version of Hebrew. And then there's the Masoretic, which is the newer. And some of the things that I memorized in the Bible in English are not what it says in the Bible in Hebrew and God's Word. And so that sent me into a lot of research. I researched this. I said, God, what do you want me to do on television? So anyhow, the message that was brought was called the supernatural realm. It's, see all those people on the video? Okay? They're all praising God. But there's an enemy out there that's going to get them as soon as they walk out. The same enemy is going to get you as soon as you walk out of here. Same enemy that's attacked me in the past. And most churches out there never preach this stuff. So what we're going to do is, I finished it. Now, when I presented it to this church, I needed to stand in front of an audience because I'm going on television, okay? So I said, well, I got to do this in front of somebody. I called Barbara up. I was like, can I do this in the church? So I came over. And I did a quarter of it because I wasn't done. I was up all night typing that thing up and making it work. This is the full presentation. See, guys, I want to tell you a story real quick before I start this. In 1992, I was right there on the floor, slain in the spirit. My wife, Cindy, is right beside me. I was never slain in the spirit in my life. I didn't know what that was. I just went out. Okay? And Barbara was the pastor then. She's the pastor now. You're blessed having her. So I never had anybody say anything prophetic over me ever in my life. Never. Okay? I went to those churches out there, the religious churches. So she said something. It stuck in my head. I listened to every word because I was freaked out. And she said that, you know, Cindy and I would, you know, we would take the gospel to the world. I said, well, I just became a Christian. I'm not going to do that. How am I going to do that? That's a lie. Okay? That was me back then, okay? I'm a hard-headed Jew. God put me through the ringer to make me stand here tonight. See, my life verse, and I want you to memorize this. Go to the Bible if you never opened it up and turn to this. It's in the book of Psalms. All of you have verses that you live by, your favorite verses. Mine used to be Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. They said that this morning in church. I like that one. That's a good one, okay? But the one I live by is Psalm 37, verse 23. The reason I like that verse is because it was bothering me. It says in the New King James that the steps of the good man are ordered by God, and he delights therein. I said, well, wait a minute, everybody thinks they're good. That's not right. So I went to the Hebrew. When I found out the Hebrew word for good, what they say is good is not good. It's geber. And that means there's many, you could check it yourself, but there's many translations of that word, but it means warrior. Warrior is somebody that takes orders. These are your orders if you're a Christian. You take orders unto death. This is what you live by. So when I was finally broken, and see, girls, most guys, I'm one of them, okay? They're hard to break. It's easier for y'all. See, your brain waves go across the brain everywhere. Ours just go in straight lines. That's why you never see girls out in war. Okay, they have more smarts than we have. But God had to break me, and I'm not going to go into any of that tonight, but I will tell you that I'm broken. Once I got broken, I put everything in order. God's first, you're second, I'm here. So here's what it says. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord, and he delights therein. That changed my life. That means when I wake up in the morning and I go before the cross and I put on my clothes before I go, first thing I do, I'm still down here. Thank you for another day. I'm here to serve you. So before I can get clean, I cleanse myself of sin, because during the day I do things that offend God and offend people. There's things that, in fact, I should have done something. I should have prayed over my nephew. I caught him on the phone today, and I didn't pray over him. I said, I will pray for you. I should have, and I'm going to call him back tomorrow. But there's things that you all do that you should have, could have, would have, and you didn't do it. You got to go and get cleansed. So I do that every day. I do it every day. So that means that once I do that and get cleansed, put my clothes on, wherever I go, whoever I meet, I sat here and we talked about staying healthy. We're both the same age. Those children tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, they're going to be looking at me half asleep. All of you ordered by the Lord. Does that make sense? Your steps are ordered by the Lord. A lot of Christians say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, where are you? Who are you talking to? Ordered by the Lord. And he delights therein. Does that make sense? So in 92, I was down there. And Barbara said that. And again, in the end of June, I had my mom and mother-in-law down, and I'm walking out of a restaurant, and my mother-in-law turns 96 this year. My mother was walking with me. She's in bad shape, and this rang. Now, I keep a dumb phone because where I live, there's no reception, so I might as well keep a dumb phone. My wife has a smartphone with, hello, Google, but this is a telephone. And it rang. I looked, Oklahoma, who's that? I said, hello, Neil? This is Linda K. Barnett from Prophecy News. How would you like to come back and do two shows? I said, oh, my gosh. I'm saying this to tell you, when Barbara speaks, and I know this, okay, you may not see that happen right away. That was back in 92 when she said that. I've been on television, radio, yesterday. I was in the mountains. I stopped at a Carrabba's. The waiter came up to me. He said, I just saw you on television. I said, you just saw me on television? I said, what? He went, can I take a picture of you? I said, oh, my gosh. My mother calls me this morning. Neil, we just opened up the newspaper. Your picture's in it. I said, what? What? I'm going to be saying the same message in Pennsylvania where I grew up next week in another spirit-filled church. Barbara said that Cindy and I would be bringing the gospel to the ends of the world. How come? Because God knows the plans he has for all of you. You go before that cross tomorrow. You repent. You wash. Wherever you go. I'll be teaching children tomorrow. Okay? I'm going to be teaching for another year and a half, and I'm done. Now, I got a question before we start. How many of you have seen the movie Forrest Gump? You remember Forrest Gump? You remember at the beginning sitting on a bench, and there's a feather waffling in the air? Okay, and then at the end of the thing, he opens up the book, Curious George, and there's the same feather after all those years. And he questioned, is life like a feather? Is your life like a feather? Does it just drift in the wind? Or is it controlled? Now, in the beginning of my book, the last book I wrote, and I'm going to pray about writing the sequel because yesterday I was with my 95-year-old editor from Portland. She was here, and she wanted to know if we're going to finish the book. I said, I'm waiting until the end of the elections. I want to see what's going to happen, okay? I'm not making any decisions until November the 8th because this ends on November 8th, okay? You find out who's the president. It starts out with the story of Forrest Gump, and it asks that question. Is life just chance? Is it blowing in the wind, or is it controlled? Okay? So we're going to do the supernatural realm tonight, the whole thing. And here we go. The natural realm. Okay, we need sound. That's sound. There it goes. This is history. Take a look at it. This is what you studied in school.
from 6,000 years ago all the way up. Some of you remember this? Today. Okay, we'll find out soon. Now, again, you get up tomorrow morning, you go out into the world, okay, you go to your jobs, wherever you're going to go. Okay, we're in a natural world, right? And so we think naturally. Even you go to church, you read the Bible, and you read these words, and again, they're in English. I'm reading more in Hebrew to find out exactly what it says. Romans 1, 18 through 23. I'm sure you're familiar with this. God's anger from heaven is against all the godlessness and the wickedness of people who in their wickedness keep suppressing the truth. Because what is known about God is plain to them, since God has made it plain to them. For ever since the creation of the universe, his visible qualities, both his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly seen. Because they can be understood from what he has made. I'm going to stop right there. Now, I'm not sure if you know, I'm a science teacher. And I share this on the first show in Prophecy in the News that I'm my religion is science. And this is, and it still is. Okay, I test everything. I don't believe anything until it's completely proven. I don't believe people. I don't believe when somebody says something. You read Yahoo, okay? That's all lies on there. I tell my children in school, don't believe that stuff. Research it. Research it. I might say things, but everything I do, and I really take, you know, it tells you in the Bible, take every thought captive. So when I stand there and teach, I make sure that what I'm saying to those children has been researched. So again, research, okay? Because I'm going to show you something. I brought a friend with me tonight. About a month ago, my wife and I went to Assateague Island. I found my friend here. He stinks. I want to give him a nice throw bath. What is this? Anybody? Right. Is a horseshoe crab a crab? No, it's not. This is not a crab. This is related to a spider. Okay? Yeah. This is a... By the way, guess what we find? Older than the dinosaurs, perfectly preserved in rocks. Exactly the way I'm holding it. Over 350 million years old. Same thing. Okay? Do they tell you that? Okay, it hasn't changed. This should be Darth Vader today, okay? Seriously, with this, look at that head. It looks like Darth Vader, right? We lie. The kids in school are lied to. See, the first sentence in the Bible is the most important sentence of the Bible. If you don't believe God did it, then get out of here right now because you're wasting your time. If you don't believe God created, then you're not going to believe anything in the Bible. That's about the most powerful. In the beginning, God created. God created. See, the devil's job is to make sure that you don't believe that. And they've been doing a great job all throughout the world, just not in America, but everywhere, to make people understand. See, I'm a scientist. Let me give you a story. You ever watch Jurassic Park? Okay? I love dinosaurs. I could draw dinosaurs. Before I could spell, I could cat, I could spell Tyrannosaurus Rex. When I was 4 years old, my mama bought me a book on dinosaurs. I love dinosaurs. I have a degree in geology and also biology, okay, because I love dinosaurs. Now, back when they made Jurassic Park, the first one, the dinosaurs were really cool, okay? They look like dinosaurs. Remember the Tyrannosaurus knocking the car around, the kids are under it, right? Second one, something happened to the dinosaurs. And the third one, something really happened. They start putting feathers all over them. See, in China, listen to this story. They came up with this rock. had a dinosaur with feathers. Oh my gosh, look, dinosaurs, there's evolution right there. Dinosaurs evolved into birds. Proof right there. Guess what? The world has never told you. That's a lie. Somebody got that dinosaur fossil and they carefully scraped the feathers in to sell it to make a fortune because it would be unique. They got caught, but the world never told. They don't tell you in that school. Yeah, there were birds out there, Archaeopteryx and everything, but they were birds. And everything they're teaching in school is a lie. See what God's saying right there? Suppressing the truth? Political correctness is killing this country. You understand what I'm talking about? I got to keep on talking. Okay, here we go. Therefore, because they have no excuse, because although they know who God is, they do not glorify him as God and thank him. On the contrary, they have become futile in their thinking, and their undiscerning hearts have become darkened. The world is getting dark. You guys are the light. This is a functional church. This is almost like heaven. Watch you guys spin around here. Man, you got more energy than I have and with coffee. Oh my gosh. Guys, this is almost like heaven. This is functional. We got people here. And I'm telling you, God's going to have you dancing up there. You're really good. Y'all see this? This is a little clip from the 6-minute video Piper. Look at the little baby Piper, okay? Aren't they cute? You go down to the beach, you see these things, all right? Now, it's watching the adults, okay? And the adults are eating, and they went out to eat. Well, all of a sudden, something happened, okay? And see, they didn't know what it was hungry, just like all babies. There's a baby that went upstairs. Babies get hungry. Mama feeds it. Well, this baby went out there to investigate, watched all the adults. Okay, there's the mama. Food's right down there. Just stick your little beak down there and get it, right? Didn't know that something is going to come. The adult birds, they run into the waves, run back. They're fun to watch, aren't they? Because they know a wave's coming. They have to do it quick. That's why God made them with those legs like that, okay? So here comes a wave. Little bird didn't know it. Okay, ooh, big wave. Little bird's still there. Little bird got hit by a wave, ran back to the nest and stayed there, frightened as can be. But it got hungry again, and it went back out. And this time, a big wave hit it, and it was submerged. And when it opened its eyes, it saw a realm that the parents never saw. Look at the beauty of this realm. This is what the little bird saw. He saw the coral. He saw the clams. He saw the fish. A realm of such beauty that the parents never saw because the parents ran in fear. Look at that. This is the supernatural realm that you guys have not seen. You hear about it. You sing about it. But have you seen it? Okay? Now, faith is a blind kind of thing. You know, I live by faith. But God knows me. I'm a hard head. I'm a hard head. It tells you in the Bible that Jews are hard heads. So God allowed me one time in my life to see into the supernatural realm like that little bird. Now, the neat thing is when I watch the videos of singing, they're mostly, how many of you are millennials in here? Put your hand up if you consider yourself a millennial. Okay. Millennials are between 18 and 30 years old. Anybody qualify for that? Y'all old people? When I looked around in the movie theater, everybody's clapping. They were mostly millennials. They understood the little bird. When the little bird opened its eyes and saw into the supernatural realm, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for reality. This is a scary world out there that they're living in today, especially what's going on. See, the millennials, one thing, you know, that was a really good concert, and they were saying really good, really excellent songs. I love those. Those are songs that we should sing all, every day. But they're leaving the church, guys, in record numbers. This is the statistics. I'm talking about the churches that are not doing what you guys do. The millennials come here. They love this stuff. Why are they leaving the churches in record numbers? Because they are. Okay, that's the question. They are totally bored. Totally bored. Totally bored. Why are they totally bored? Okay? They're bored of hearing the same old dusty old stories over and over again that have no relevance for their lives today. Were you ever in those churches out there? They're all over the place. Man, they're everywhere. They're totally turned off to the old religious doctrines and the traditions of the past. And I don't blame them, because I'm the same way, okay? But there is something about the battle between good and evil on the cosmic scale that thrills them. They're the ones that go watch all those movies out there, all those supernatural, crazy movies. They're the ones growing up that played all the video games, right? They love that stuff. Look, all the video games about the supernatural. Why are they so involved in the supernatural? Well, let me tell you why, okay? God has planted eternity into the hearts of all men. Even so, many cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. All of you have it in you. All of you have that desire to know. But why aren't they hearing it? Well, let's go to the next verse. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They're not preaching it. It's too weird. See, the majority of churches out there that call themselves churches cherry pick this thing. They cherry pick it. This is a spirit-filled church. Barbara preaches from cover to cover. When you come here, get your friends here. Fill this up. This is a nice crowd tonight, but pack it out. Because again, you have people that need to hear this. Faith comes by hearing. So tonight, here it goes. Y'all ready? The supernatural realm.
So this book today, it's called Wiles of the Devil 2016. Maybe to start off, you could just introduce it for everybody and tell us what this book's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, there's a verse in the Bible. I'm sure all of you have heard it, but let me read it to you. It's Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles means deceit. Now, I want you all to hear this because this is important. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, with that said, Clark, when you stand at a window and you look outside, okay, just picture everybody right now, if you're driving in your car, and you're looking through a window, you're inside. And the window is a partition. It keeps you from getting out to that area. Mm-hmm. Well, every day when we wake up, there is a window that nobody recognizes. And it's in the Bible. And Jesus spoke about it more than any other topic, Clark, and that is the supernatural. Mm-hmm. And see, that's the thing. We look at the Bible today. We read stories that go back 2,000 years ago. And we just don't get it because we live in a natural realm. And see, what my book does is it opens up the eyes of everybody that reads it to what is exactly happening in the supernatural realm.
So, again, we're going to open your eyes tonight to the supernatural realm. It's all around you. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. All over. The organizational makeup of the supernatural realm. You ready for this? Remember that song we talked about, family, last song? Sid Roth, who's a friend of mine, uses a word called Mishpoka. Mishpoka is family. Family. You're all my family. Get that into you. You're my family. Some of you never saw me before. You're my family. See, in heaven, where we're headed, I got my ticket. We're going to be together forever. I just talked to my mother's friend who's dying of cancer. She's on life support. Her brain's still working, so she talked to me. She has so much peace because she knows where she's going. I wish everybody had that kind of peace. Right? The songs that you sang tonight, peace, joy. Okay? Honest to goodness. Here we go. The names and title of the boss. You ready? Now, this is in the Hebrew. This is not in your Bible. They put a capital G for God. That's when it leaves out so much. So let's take some notes. By the way, this is cool. Okay, so the first one is why. H-W-H. You can't pronounce that. There are no vowels there. It's called tetragrammaton. Now, for those of you who never heard that before, it has no vowels. But it's the most used word for God in the entire Old Testament. The most. It's used 6,519 times. Now, here's the reason. Okay, again, we read it as God, G-O-D. Here's the reason why it's not said. Okay, the first time it's used is right there. There's Moses, there's the burning bush, and this is what God said. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. Well, what's I am? It's that tetragrammation. Now, let me go to the next one so you'll understand this, okay? It means the Lord. Too sacred. Jews cannot say that name. So what do they say instead? Okay? Devout Jews say instead, Hashem, the name. Hashem, the name. That's what they say. They also say, Hashem Adonai. The word Adonai in Hebrew is Lord. Adonai. It could be God as Lord or any Lord. Adonai. Okay? Now, it's pronounced, here's what they did. They took an A and an E from Adonai and Hashem, and now you pronounce it Yahweh. That's why you hear the word Yahweh, but Jews can't say that. Okay, it's too sacred to them. Do you understand where that came from? That's the most used name of God in the Bible. Okay, let's go on. El, all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty God. It's used 238 times in the Bible. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. El HaKadosh, the holy God. El Olam, the everlasting God. It's used in proper names. Some of you might have an L in your name and you didn't know where it came from. Well, here it is. Israel, the triumph of God. Michael, if your name's Michael, Michael is who is like God. Gabriel, God is my strength. Daniel, God is my judge. Isn't that cool? Now this is, again, Hebrew, I'm telling you. This is the translation. It says Elohim is the plural of El and is the first name of God given in the Old Testament. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Now, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's a plural. That's what I was told. That's true. Okay, it's true. God's plural. Elohim, the mighty creator. Referenced in the Tanakh 2,340 times. Okay, that's the number one. That's the second one. It's Elohim. You hear that a lot, right? Elohim means God, mighty creator. Okay, it's the plural meaning of God. Oops, let me go back. Okay, the role of the boss. Now we know his names, let's find out his role. Ready? Okay. He's the chief decision maker of the divine family. He makes the rules. He makes the rules. Then Elohim said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Then Elohim said, "Let us, huh? Who's the us?" Now see, this has not been explained. This is what I found out this summer. Who the heck that us is, okay? Because, again, this is all new to me. I'm a teacher. I like visuals. So I put this together for all of you. They did this on television, which was really cool, okay? Elohim also refers to angels or the sons of God, the inhabitants of the heavenly realm. Now that's what I'd look at, because the two parts of the Bible, the Septuagint and the Masoretic, had different names for this, and I had to find out which one was which. I contacted everybody. I sent emails. Look at that. What's that mean? Nobody got back to me, so I had to go with what I felt God. All right, so on the day that I sent in the script for television, I finally got an answer. Okay? Too late. Bruce Vanetta called me. Now, I'll tell you who Bruce Vanetta is. He died. He really died. He's one of those people that you watch on television. He died. He got cut in two. He had a semi land right under his ribcage and cut him right in two. He died. He was dead. Anyhow, he's back to life. There's a story. It's on my website. But anyhow, he said, "Neil, I have your answer." I said, "Too late, Bruce. I just sent it." And he said, "Well, then tell me what it is." I said, "Well, the divine council is made out of angels, archangels." He said, "Neil, that's exactly what God told me." That was confirmation. Confirmation. Okay? Now I'm telling you things that nobody else has ever told. Now Michael Heiser did, but he's not a communicator. I mean, he's kind of boring. I had to wait through the end. Then I bought his book and I read it. But again, guys, God's divine council were archangels. Okay? They're also called Elohim, but they're small case. Archangels, B'nai Elohim, okay, the highest ranking angels. That's Daniel 9:12. You have Michael and Gabriel. The rest of them are found in, what's the name of that book? What's the other book? The Book of Enoch, which, again, it's not canonized, but I believe it's a true book. So these are the archangels. They're the ones that God is talking to. Let us make man in our image. Everybody got that? Okay. Ministering angels also, B'nai Elohim. This room is full of them. I've not seen an angel, but I know they're there because they've proven it to me many times. You all have angels. This room is packed. Your car, they sit on top. I don't know where they are, but they protect you. They're around you, honey, when you go to school. There are angels everywhere. Everywhere. See, it tells you in the Bible. Four places. I'll give you one. It's Hebrews 1:14. Ministering angels are given to those who are heirs unto salvation. Not everybody gets them. Only those who are heirs unto salvation get them. Okay? Only God knows who heirs unto salvation too. A lot of people sit in churches are not going to heaven. God addressed his divine council of angels and said to them, let us make man in our image. Oops, let me go back. Well, that's all right. God did not create robots. What's the image? Do we have his nose? Do we have his toes? Do we have God's eyes? We have, okay, freedom to make decisions on our own. We're not robots, okay? We have free will. We have the freedom to choose. Angels have the freedom to choose. Now, I want to tell you about angels, everybody. Angels have eternal life. They have eternal life. That means that if they do what they're told to do, God gave them all orders, you do this, you do that, they live forever in the kingdom of heaven. But if they don't, you'll find out in a minute what happens to them, okay? To obey. That's my class. They better obey. Okay? To obey. This is what a classroom looks like. This is what the world should look like. Okay? With God as our Father. Okay? He gave us the rule book. It's right there. You all have it. It's called the Bible, God's Word, right? Okay? Obey. Look what it looks like. Look. Look at it. Everybody's there. How come? Well, those are college students. They don't want to waste their money. Okay? But they're all obeying. Now, this is, oh, sorry about that. All right, there's a class. I've seen these before, okay? There are classrooms at my school that look just like that. They have no respect for the teacher. They have no respect. They have no respect. I was the same way. I was a bad kid at one time. I didn't have the respect either, okay? See the difference? See the world today? Do you see the world today? The world today. There it is. Look, there's the world today, guys. A major clue to makeup of the supernatural realm is revealed in this statement. Let us make man in our image. Seek ye first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all those other things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Elohim's requirements for all his images. Take a look. There's a picture you're all familiar with, right? That's a God imager. That's a God imager. I went to Mount Vernon. I looked at what he did. Okay? What bothered me is he had slaves. But the slaves that he had, because again, it bothered me, okay? They showed you. But they lived like royalty compared to the rest of the slaves. Divine beings and humans can make a free will decision to be a God imager. Now, last time, the two guys back there said, I got it. I'm a God imager. I want all of you to get it when you leave this place. When people look at you, are you a God imager? That's the thing, okay? Or you could choose to be your own imager. Okay? Of yourself. Do you see what's happening to the world out there? Oh, let me go back. Back. There. Take a look. I brought my apple with me. This was the choice you were all given. All of you. Just not Adam and Eve. You're all given. Are you going to be a God imager or are you going to be an imager of yourself? I used to be an imager of myself. Me, myself, and I. My name's Jimmy, gimme, gimme, gimme. That's the world out there. That's the world. My name's Jimmy. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Okay? Don't offend me. Don't tell me about Jesus. That's offense. Okay? Watch what happens coming up, guys. Watch. Is this your life? Maybe. Is this your life? You get up in the morning, put on your clothes, go to school, go to work. Then you get home. You take off your clothes, put on your work clothes, eat your supper, watch a few hours of television, go to bed, get up tomorrow morning, do it again and again and again and again until the rest of your life, and that's it. Okay? Because this is what most people do. Okay? I can't. I for the rest of my life, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do when I retire. It's up to God. I don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. I have tomorrow's planned out with the kids. I planned it out. Okay? Those kids are going to get a phenomenal lesson tomorrow. I'm going to show every child in my class that they have gifts and they can make an A. That's what I do every single day. This is what we're called to do, to love and obey God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. This is what you're called to do. God's first. Even though I sat in church, even though I went to Barbara's church, it wasn't until I got broken. And boy, did I get smashed. And those of you know, because you were here when I got smashed, you know what I went through. I finally submitted to God. That's it. I fasted for a whole week, and I came to the church. I came to this church right after I ended my fast. Okay? What I went through, it's on the internet. And then love people. You can't love people. You can't. If you don't love God, you don't put God first. It's conditional. I love my children. I don't get mad at them. I'm a teacher. I never say a negative word. Every word that comes out. You can say dirty words in my class, but change the first letter. Muck, duck, you know? Okay, son of a beach, sugar, honey, iced tea, but don't. You can't use the don't or the can't. I don't want to hear it. And also, to use your life and your resources and your gifts that God has given you to spread His gospel of truth. Remember, you have your divine appointments wherever you go. Spread it. Okay, everybody you meet. Now, I'm not going to read the plan tonight. I did that before. This is written, but I'll tell you the story. This was written by a man in Africa. True story. He was captured by the Muslims. They killed him the next day. I'll read it to you a little bit. The die has been cast. I stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back. Let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, faithless chatter, colorless dreams, chintzy giving, and dwarf goals. My goal is now heaven. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotion, praise, popularity. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions few. My God reliable, and my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of my enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, linger at the maze of mediocrity. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I press forward with Christ's love in my heart, using every gift, preach until all know, and work until He comes. And when He comes to get His own, He will have no problem recognizing me. I am the one washed white by His blood, waiting at the foot of the cross. I now know the plan, and I will live it each day. All to God's glory, I've stepped out of the way. He died the next day. They found that. He was killed by probably Muslims over in Africa. This is what you get for being a God imager. Your eternal benefits. This is better than anything they offer me at school. Okay? Get the Holy Spirit. And what does that mean? They don't even preach that in churches. I walked into a church about, it was last year, the preacher started introducing the Holy Spirit. I said, oh my gosh, you don't just introduce the Holy Spirit. The church is the Holy Spirit. It was founded on the Holy Spirit. This is what those churches out there, those people that go there and get their tickets stamped, go to a couple Bible studies, I'm going to heaven. The devil's got them deceived.
Good to see you again, Stephen. Matthew.
What form will it take? When will it come? Jesus said all we had to do was ask. I have been asking. Every day.
The Holy Spirit will come when the time is right. I think we should pray together. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
This is when the church started. If the Holy Spirit does not control the church, the pastor, the service, it's not church. It's not church. It's not church. It's spiritual discernment to reject sin. The devil knows your weaknesses. He knows my weaknesses. You know what his weakness, what weaknesses will do to you? He'll steal everything you have. He'll kill and destroy you. Everyone you know, look what's happening in their lives. It was happening to me.
Status.
Sex.
Money.
Power.
Material pleasure. Woo!
That's Bootsy. Tempted Jesus. Here it comes. Ready? Look what he tempted Jesus with. Everyone's tempted every single day.
Will lift you up in their hands.
How dare you put God to the test?
If you will bow down and worship me, I will give you the whole world.
Think about the politicians in Washington who are supposed to represent us. Divine protection and healing. Psalm 91, Ephesians 6, 12 through 17, 1 Peter 2, 24. I repeat those every day. Every day. I've been miraculously healed. I shared this with Anthony on the phone four times. I used to wear glasses. Sid Roth put his hands on my eyes. It's a funny story. And he took his hands off. I told him when I was a kid, I stared at the sun and burned a hole in my retina. I did. And he took his hands off. He said, "Is it still there?" And I said, "Yeah, it's still there, guys. I have 20/20 vision from that moment on." See, God had a sense of humor, okay? There's people in this room that are healed. My wife prayed over Larry when he was dying. My wife was almost, she only had a few hours left. Last person she prayed over, Larry. He's right there. That's a true story. I just mentioned it to Larry. I mean, he shouldn't be here. And a fulfilled life.
One, two, three, go.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That is medal worthy. This was the best back 2.5 or 2.5 twist at 3.6.
Look what they did when they got out of the pool. First thing they did, the whole world watched this. Okay? The whole world. A fulfilled life. A fulfilled life. They won.
Hello? Come here, group it up. Group it up. Come here, John. Come here, group it up. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are thankful for these two men.
Eternal life in God's kingdom forever. Why isn't this place packed up? Why? Why? Remember the feather? They're directing that feather. Imaging yourself. The consequences of rejecting God's rules. Okay? The ruler of the earth is Satan, the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Because Adam believed God's big fat lie that you'll become like God, knowing good and evil, Adam forfeited mankind's dominion to earth to Satan. See, the same lie you all get. You get a choice. You get a choice. This apple's yours. Okay? By the way, this is organic. It's all I eat. These are the nations, guys. Look, presently, he has dominion over North America. 528,728,588, North America. He has dominion over South America, 385,742,000. That's as of today. I checked these numbers, okay? In South America. Europe, 738,523,843. Africa, 994,527. Okay? And last, Asia, 4,279,000,000. He has dominion over the whole world. Remember the feather? Presently, he has dominion over. Right now, that's the current number as of this morning when I found it. There's over 7,457,709,000 humans right now on planet Earth. And the number's going up right now. It's going up. Okay? He has dominion. Revelation 12:4, Satan and his angels are cast out of heaven. Now, here it comes. This is that one verse. Elohim stands in the divine assembly with the other Elohim. Who are the other Elohim? Archangels. Listen to what God tells them. How long will you be going on judging unfairly, favoring the wicked? These are archangels, guys. When will you give justice to the weak and the fatherless, uphold the rights of the wretched and poor, rescue the destitute and the needy, deliver them from the power of wickedness? They, the nations, don't know. They don't understand. They wander about in darkness. Meanwhile, all the foundations of the earth are being undermined. You are Elohim, the sons of the Most High. Nevertheless, you will die like mortals. They gave up eternal life. Now, when will they get cast in a lake of fire? Soon. I don't know the day, but it's coming. Okay? Deuteronomy 32:8, when the Most High assigned the nations, the lands to the nations, he divided up the human race. He established the boundaries of the people according to the number of angels, remember, in the divine council. That's another one I had to look up. That's what it says in Septuagint, okay? The Dead Sea Scrolls number the sons of God. The Greek version reads the numbers of angels of God. So they're the angels. I'm telling you, angels were given free will, just like you are, just like everybody fallen out there. And they were given to the nations according to the sons. And we're almost done, so I got to go over quick. According to the sons of Noah. Now, everybody know that's the Tower of Babel. We will be like gods, okay? Look what they built. In Genesis 11, at one time, all the people in the world spoke the same language and used the same words. As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylon and settled there. They began saying to each other, "Let us make bricks and harden them into fire." Then they said, "Come, let us build a great city for ourselves and a tower that reaches the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered." That was the devil's plan. Is there evidence of the Tower of Babel? Archaeological evidence points to the Tower of Babel being built in the fashion of a ziggurat. The physical description is as a pyramid-shaped tower that decreases in size as its stories progress upward, with a temple at the pinnacle. Ziggurats commonly had steps and terraces spiral around the structure that led to the top of the temple at the top. Now watch what I'm going to show you, okay? These are the 70 nations. They were scattered. Okay, these are the sons of Noah. There they spread out again. Okay, they're spreading throughout the world. Did you watch the Olympics? Did you watch the March of Nations? Did you see that when they marched in? I mean, nice people. Totally deceived because the archangels are in charge of those nations, including this nation, including America. Including America. Get it in your heads. This is what God revealed when I started writing my books. My books reveal, and I'm not selling my books, honest to goodness. I gave them away here, okay? Those of you who read Newton's Riddle, you opened up and you can see that window, okay? What's going on? How did America end up the way it is right now before these elections? The nations in Genesis 10 and Ezekiel 38, same nations that were divided and scattered. Okay, are there ziggurats found today? Okay, this is the Cathedral of Ulm, Germany's highest, tallest church. It has 768 steps to the maximum height of 420 feet. Ready? Shanghai Tower, world's second tallest skyscraper, 2,073 feet. Ready? World's tallest building, this is in Dubai, 2,717 feet. Ready? Completion date, 2019, Saudi Arabia, 3,200 feet. A mile, 5,280 feet. Two-thirds of a mile high. You see what mankind's still doing? Still doing. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. I just want to show you how they get everywhere. Those of you who have smartphones. Okay, Google, isn't it amazing what it does? When we were in Oklahoma, it says, get in the left two lanes. I said, how does it know there's two left lanes when I'm going to be turning? Think about that. Demons know even more, okay? Demons are everywhere. They know you. They know everything about you. They were assigned to you when you were born. They know every thought. They know your weaknesses. Okay, just like satellites, all right now on your cell phone, all that stuff bounces off satellites and comes back down at the speed of light. It's amazing. Okay? Demons can pass this information. All this stuff that you read about in the news today, this is all planned out. All this stuff in America, all this trash talk, I mean, the debate, I was embarrassed. I turned that off because children are watching. They're talking about sex during a debate for a president of the United States of America. Oh my gosh, all planned out.
Did you know that if you have an iPhone or an Android device, chances are every single thing you do is being tracked right now, location by location, down to the exact minute you were there. So who's getting all your information, and how do you shut this off? Pull out your phones right now and get ready. We're about to show you everything.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. It's
you're being tracked.
When we hit the streets.
Just on your cell phone.
Whoa.
There are demons everywhere. Now, this church is one of the few that tell you. It says, submit yourself unto God.
Yes,
resist the devil, and he will flee.
Shot.
If you don't submit yourself unto God, you say, I went to Barber's Church tonight. That's all I have to do.
I
got you. You got you.
Where you live, where you work. See all those little blue dots? It even maps out where you go.
Every step, your cell phones, from the moment you bought it. From the moment you bought it.
Jim Stickley.
Very creepy. Very disturbing. So most of us have it. I imagine almost everybody.
On the iPhone, that personal tracker is very deep. Go to privacy, location services, system services, scroll down even more, and there it is, frequent locations. But if you think that's invasive, storing all that data in your device, Stickley says it gets even worse.
I think Android's far creepier. Android you can track online, and to me, that's far bigger risk.
That's right. He says if you have an Android phone, all your tracking data is sent straight to Google.
It knows exactly where I was this morning, knows where I was sleeping, how long I slept for, when I left, when I arrived.
Every
here,
demon that's
right
been assigned to you
and, I don't need
and
your
me.
Phone for this.
Now, I take
this,
authority
right,
over them.
Your
They're not allowed in my house. They were in my house. I saw one.
And it
okay?
goes far
it's real.
Back.
You can go to any day. I can go a year.
America was founded on the tenets of loyalty, honor, respect for God, family, country, respecting the rights of others. That's what this country was founded on, right? Satan's plan to destroy America is very simple, guys. Eliminate America's tenets of loyalty, honor, and respect. Mark 3:25. A house divided against itself cannot stand. We're on the verge of collapse. I don't care who gets elected. This country is so divided. The devil has gone for the past. And it's subtle. Just like the cell phones, it's totally subtle. Okay? Well, watch what happens. Eliminate prayer and any phrase of religious expression in schools on the grounds that it violates the principle of separation of states. This is the first attack. Okay? Watch this. 1962, it started. Engle versus Vitellus Supreme Court decision made a ban on this prayer in all public schools. You ready? I used to say this. Here it comes. Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon thee, and we beg thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. That was it. That was it. That was it. Wiles of the devil. They use the media to discredit America's Christian culture. I don't have to tell you, you watch it every night. The media. They use our public schools and universities to discredit the Bible. They emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. Right? Wiles of the devil present homosexuality, transgender confusion, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Right? This is what's happening. Divide the church. Infiltrate the church and replace biblical authority with social religion. America. Look what the devil's done. I don't want to depress you. I want to give you good news, okay? You need to see this. You need to see what's happening in the supernatural realm. This is happening. This is happening. This is the reason when you turn on the news tonight, you read the newspaper tomorrow, you hear what's going to be happening in next week's debate. Do you understand what's happening? You see it? Isaiah 5:20-23. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that puts bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them. Woe. This is what God says. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength and mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Wiles of the devil. How will they vote on November 8th? Okay? There they are. No moral compass. No moral compass. It's gone. Totally. The last one, we're almost done. Deuteronomy 32:9. For the people of Israel belong to the Lord. Okay, so the nations are controlled by those archangels that went bad. One nation on this earth. One nation. This is the next verse, guys. It says, one nation God saved for himself. Okay? Israel.
Give me the strength to do what I must.
Abraham, do not harm your child. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you've not withheld your son, your beloved son.
By the way, they just declared the UN that has no right to Israel. That's Mount Moriah. Did you read that? That was this week. That's a fairy story that Jews made up. That belongs to the Muslims. Do you see what's happening? That's Mount Moriah. We're going to hurry up. Daniel 10:12-21. Don't be afraid, Daniel. So Daniel, he read the book of Jeremiah, and he realized that, wow, 70 years in Jeremiah that they're in captivity is up. He was 14 when he went in. Now he's 84 years old. Okay. So he knows that times go for us to be going back, just like us. We're waiting for God. We're waiting for Jesus. All these people say these things. Well, he got desperate. He fasted. He put on sackcloth and he's crying out to God. When? That's what we're saying. When? I mean, he fasted. He truly did. And God sent the messenger. Listen to this, guys. This will blow you away if you haven't read this. So don't be afraid, Daniel. The angel said to me, for from the first day that you proposed to understand and humble yourself before the God, your prayers were heard. I have come because of your prayers. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days. Who's that prince? It's one of those archangels that came down. Now, what's the goal of these archangels? Well, they want to stay here with Satan. They don't want to go into the lake of fire, but they want to destroy Israel. Throughout history, everyone wanted to destroy Israel. Everyone. Why? because that's where you all come back. I ask God if I can stay because I'm 100% Jewish. I want to be one of the 144,000. Hey, guys, I've been waiting for you. Okay, that's his goal. Destroy Israel. Then no one's coming back. Okay? So the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go, the prince of Greece. You hear these princes? These are demons. And they're fighting each other in the supernatural. I mean, this is a real battle. 21 days it took an angel of God to battle down here. And you can see what's going on. If you can't, then the word of God says it. I believe it. The supreme leader of Iran is the Ayatollah Khomeini. He hates Israel and the Jewish people. He says he hears directly from Allah. In my book, it's Alazad. It's the prince of Persia. And has publicly stated that he wants to wipe the Jews, the pigs, to usher in the 12th Aman, the Mahdi, okay? Which won't happen until Israel's destroyed. Now, that's in the modern days. That's now. Now. Analysis and experts place Hezbollah's arsenal of missiles at between 120,000 and 130,000 long-range missiles and rockets. In 2006, they could strike only northern Israel. Today, its rockets and missiles can imperil every inch of the Jewish state. This is already. That's where we are right now. When will this happen? Soon. I'm not here to scare you. I'm telling you guys, okay? What Barbara said, you have to have the joy of the Lord. You have to trust God with all your heart. You have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt God's in control. This is about, we live in that generation that this is about ready to happen. Daniel 12:1. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will come a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of the nation until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found in the written in the book, will be delivered. I know when Jesus is coming back. Remember in Matthew 23, when Jesus, right before he went to the cross, was telling the religious people, "Woe, woe, 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 woe." Okay? Then he made a statement. You will not see me again until you cry out, Baruch Atah B'Shem Adonai. Israel right now is the same as it was back then. They're going to go through some stuff until they cry out, Baruch Atah B'Shem Adonai, but it's going to happen. And we're going to go through some stuff too. You got to trust God. I mean, yes, it's been easy. But guys, what's coming upon this earth soon, and I don't know when, okay, but it's soon. Are you a God imager? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A famous quote of a God imager. Within the covers of the Bible are answers for all the problems of man.
According to King Solomon, trying to fill the emptiness in your life with the things of this world is like trying to catch the wind. At the end of your time here on earth, you're going to find that there's nothing in your heart. Just emptiness.
God has given us a tremendous gift, the gift of time, not to simply be wasted on self-serving pursuits. He's made each one of us special with unique talents, gifts, personalities, for two reasons. One, to make a difference in this world, and to carry out his great command.
To love God with all of your heart.
With all of our soul.
And love God with all your might.
And love one another.
Love one another.
And finally, we are to go out and tell everyone, everywhere, about God's greatest act and sacrifice of love.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christos.
Christ Jesus.
Yahshua HaMashiach.
One final and very important message. God instituted the family to carry out his will and his purposes on earth. Just listen.
Husbands, you need to love and to cherish your wife, for she is so precious. Love and cherish every day.
And wives, you need to love and cherish and respect your husbands. You need to do that every day. Amen. For once they are gone, you cannot bring them back.
You can't get them back.
Parents, have a passion to be role models for your children.
We need to be secure in the fact that you're there for us all the time. Let us know you truly love one another. Demonstrate your love in front of your children every single day.
Time goes by so quickly, and once we're gone,
you can't get us back.
That endless body of water in back of me represents eternity. This glass of water, your life. The decisions you make from now on will not only affect your time here on Earth, but eternity. Forever and forever. The decision is yours. If you waste your time here on Earth, you cannot get it back.
One of the greatest gifts that we have while we're here on Earth is time.
And with the time we have, we want to serve the Lord.
You're right, because once it's gone,
you can't get it back.
You cannot get it back.
You cannot get it back.
You cannot get it back.
You cannot.
It's my granddaughter.
You cannot get it back.
You cannot get it back.
You can't get it back.
You cannot get it back.
You cannot get it back.
And you cannot get it back.
One third of the people that you just saw are dead today. I made this in 2005. One third. One third of the people are no longer on Earth. You guys have a gift. You saw the supernatural realm tonight. Now, I have for all of you, and again, for individuals, you take one. This is the only, in the history of mankind, no one has ever explained Genesis 1 before. It's explained on here, both how God did it in 6 24-hour days and billions of years. I mentioned this when I was on television on the first show. It's gone crazy because people want to know the truth. So this is from an MIT physics professor who's a friend of mine, lives in Israel. I made him the website. There's three videos on here. That video, okay, the gift of time, the whole thing's on here for you. Also, Genesis and the Big Bang is here. Okay, I burnt these for you guys today. Now, again, if I run out, I'll bring back more, okay? But again, this you can share with people who don't believe. This is the greatest tool the devil has. If you don't believe Genesis 1, you'll never believe, okay? So, Father, I thank you. They were patient tonight. Father, we had a great time in all our service, from the praise and worship through the message tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are all God imagers. And when we leave here tonight and I go to school tomorrow, we go out into the world, we are your imagers. And we rebuke you, Satan. It tells us that submit yourself unto God, rebuke the devil and he will flee. So I thank you, Lord, that these people, these are your servants down here. We thank you for the opportunities that we had tonight to learn about your supernatural realm. And thank you again that you have a pastor in this church who has dedicated every fiber of her being to all of you and her husband and the people in the back, the people that put together this praise and worship. Everything in this church is perfect, okay, according to what God says. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you guys for having me. In Jesus' name. So, again, like there's two people there, one of them gets one, okay? So if you came in with a friend, okay, I'm going to put these back here. Chris has them. All right.